Is it possible the Dallas Cowboys are good? I did not factor that in to this season. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Well, Pearl, you had to sweat that out.
Oh, great.
Eagles, defending champs, they go 1-0. It was a crazy game. Final score is 24-20. Weird, weird weather. The Jalen Carter spitting incident. We'll get into all of that. But ultimately, we said yesterday, Cowboys can't get blown out, right?
Yep.
It was going to matter how this looked. And either you feel better because they were an 8-point underdog and they only lost by 4. They were right in this game. Or you kind of feel a little sick because they had every opportunity to win the game and steal this one on the road. And ultimately, they could not do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Putting my Eagles fan hat on for a second.
Yeah.
Part of me said, oh, crap, the Cowboys are still good.
They
they look a lot like the 12-5 team, the 3 years in a row 12-5 team. It looked so much like 2 years ago when the Cowboys receivers were way too much for a very weak Eagles secondary to handle. I told you the secondary was a problem. And man, they third and long didn't matter. CeeDee Lamb and George Pickens and everybody else just torched them. They were 7-for-11 on third down, totally on the Eagles secondary. That being said, the Eagles won the game. I think you can't even really judge this game because of the weather break. It's a tale of two games. You know, the first half, both offenses were amazing. Then second half, both defenses were amazing. But really, what do we learn from that? I think it's really hard to evaluate because of the second halftime.
Yeah, I can't tell what was actually the bigger moment in the game. Was it the Jalen Carter spitting before the first offensive snap of the game, right? After the special teams injury, he and Dak Prescott are having words. We find out later that Dak Prescott spit at Jalen Carter
In the direction of Jalen Carter.
The second spitter, if you're a Seinfeld fan. But Dak actually was the first spitter in this instance. But he spit towards the ground, and then Jalen Carter comes up with like the hocked loogie, you know, right into Dak's chest.
Right, so, in front of the umpire, which was a big mistake.
Yeah, and we'll get into him, and he should certainly be suspended. And wild card.
Why is America on social media acting like Jalen Carter made the greatest crime? Guys spit on guys on the football field all the time. Yeah, they get ejected. I mean, it's happened a million times. What Jalen Carter did was a football move. It happens so often. And now everybody's acting like Jalen Carter broke every rule of civilized society. That I've seen a million guys spit on other guys on a football field. Sometimes it's caught and the guy gets ejected. Wait, I saw someone on social media saying 4-game suspension. What are we talking about?
All right, Philadelphia.
That's
how you greet each other at the link.
First of all, the social media soapboxes, they must have run out of soapboxes of famous former players being like, I can't believe Jalen Carter. Well, oh my God, give me a break.
I know. I love it. And by the way, Hawk Tua back in our life for another 15 minutes of fame. So hopefully she doesn't do another crypto coin and find herself in a federal penitentiary. But
can I say one more thing too about that? Dak Prescott, that guy's got a set because he walked right up to Jalen Carter and wasn't afraid of that man. We saw Jalen Carter at the Super Bowl hotel last year. He's a moving mountain, and Dak wasn't afraid of him at all. I'm like, Dak, be scared. And then there was a report that Jalen Carter walked off the field, didn't say a word to anyone, has still not spoken to any human being. Like, he's terrifying.
Yeah, well, he spoke to the press.
Oh, did he speak out?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Okay.
He said that will never happen again. I'm like, well,
that was like 2 a.m. Sorry.
You probably said that, you know, over on the other things that you've had, because Jalen Carter doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
You said, actually, you had a good tweet afterwards. You thought this was like, you know, the Eagles might be their own worst enemy coming into this. And Jalen Carter, I think we talked about him yesterday. Like, he's the guy you have to worry. Like, can he keep his head straight after the Super Bowl year?
Yeah. No. He can't. Like, he's failed these tests. He failed them in college, even though they were successful at Georgia. But then, obviously, the stuff off the field with the horrible car accident would cost a loss of life. I mean, it really serious, serious things, much more serious than the spitting. But it just shows, like, a lack of awareness. I mean, and so this is where it started before it got sidetracked on whether or not he should be suspended or whether that was, like, how much of a crime it is to spit on somebody.
Puck!
The other one. Was it the Jalen Carter getting removed from the game and ejected from the game, or was it the weather delay? Because I'll agree with you. The weather delay changed the game for both sides, though. The Jalen Carter, that changed the game for the Dallas offense. Yeah. I mean, they were really able to get after Philadelphia. No one could stop each other in the first half of the game. No punts in the first half of the game. But I don't know if this is a poll question. Maybe I think they were almost equally as impactful. Maybe Jalen Carter getting ejected was even more impactful than the weather delay. I can't tell.
Well, I mean, listen, the Eagles lost a lot of defensive players, and it showed up.
Yeah, that's 100%.
True. They had no pass
from
rush.
From the Super Bowl team.
From the Super Bowl team. They lost this offseason. It showed up in a major way. They could not get, you know, they lost probably two really, really good defensive linemen, Josh Sweat and Milton Williams. They did not get to Dak Prescott.
No, he was not sacked in this game.
Yeah, and Jalen Carter went out. They couldn't stop the run. So that's where the Jalen Carter thing was felt. And then there were a lot of third and longs. Like, their defensive backs could not hold up. Like,
no, George Jackson might need to go back in the lab, as they say.
And George Pickens didn't have a lot of catches, but he had a big drew a big flag on pass interference. A lot of
big third and five, actually, after the break, where Dak went to him.
If these two teams play again in Dallas, I think it's week 12, Dallas should be favored, because the matchup wise, the Eagles team we saw last night without Jalen Carter, I'll give you, was not good. The offense was good, but also, too, in the break, the Cowboys finally figured out, dude, we got to stop Jalen Hurts running. So I do think there were coaching adjustments made by both sides defensively that made a massive difference.
Yeah, no doubt. And I don't know why they weren't spying Jalen Hurts. They were talking about this on the broadcast, because he was as wide open for, you know, for as far as running space and as far as being able to make a difference. He took every opportunity. Without a pass rush, I said Jalen Hurts looked like an MVP last night.
Yeah,
he looked like
absolutely.
The MVP. He's already a Super Bowl MVP. Yeah. But I think we're asking the question, you know, are the Cowboys good?
Well, one more question.
A little surprising as we go through the TikTok of this game. You know, if Miles Sanders does not fumble the football after this massive 50-yard run, he's obviously gassed. I don't know why they went right back to him, but he's, you know, it's the opening week. You don't have your wind. He runs this huge gain, you know, right in the third quarter, and all of a sudden he gets stripped, fumble the ball. Dak Prescott actually saves a fumble six there with a big tackle on Quinyon Mitchell. And that was also a major turning point of the game as well.
Well, okay. The second question. It's not even the one thing. And I'll tell you right now, if Micah Parsons is a Dallas Cowboy, the Dallas Cowboys walk out 1-0. No doubt in my mind. You think Jalen Hurts is going to run like crazy? Micah Parsons runs a 4.3 40. He's designed to chase down Jalen Hurts. And Micah Parsons, when he gets in the open field, is like a cheetah. I mean, he comes out. They definitely win this game with Micah Parsons, if Micah Parsons' back was healthy and he had a bunch of plays. But I thought you clearly saw one thing missing on that defense was a devastating pass rusher. So sorry, Jerry, you screwed up.
You know, it's so funny that you say that, because I actually feel the same way. But I think people are coming out of this game looking at the defense and how they played after the weather delay, and it's like, all right, well, you know, they have the capability. I guess making adjustments, and you finally saw a little of Kenny Clark a little more of his impact maybe after that weather delay. But how could you not look at that game? And again, both offenses were ahead of the defenses last night, and the Jalen Carter ejection was just so big for Dallas's offense. But if you're a Cowboy fan, how do you watch that game and not say, boy, we really needed Micah Parsons there? I mean, is there any other takeaway that you could possibly have?
Well, I mean, we knew that Micah Parsons was not going to play 70 snaps.
That's
so
true.
You might say Micah Parsons was, because of the holdout and maybe because of his back. We have to see him play this weekend.
Yes,
and
okay.
Then we'll know more. We'll see how his back holds up. But yeah, the Cowboys could not get pressure, and then they lost their lanes. You could also argue the Cowboys' defense was rusty, didn't play a lot in the preseason, and they took a while to get warmed up. So you might squint and say, okay, we're going to be able to fix that. Because the funny thing about Jerry Jones, we keep talking about his mismanagement, they have drafted some really good players. Chris Collinsworth is deep in love with Marshawn Nealon.
Yep.
They're some really good players. They have great cornerbacks. They just sort of, the one thing, I'm like, well, what does this defense need? A pass rusher. And also, they still weren't able to stop the run when it counted. I mean, Saquon Barkley was getting 4 or 5 yards before he got touched.
By the way, any worries you had about Saquon Barkley and his workload, I know that probably wouldn't show up until later in the season, you know, with all the carries that he had last year and how the Eagles really rode him to the Super Bowl, but he looked as good as ever last night.
Yeah, it's week one.
Yeah.
Did you think, okay, can this last up 18 weeks? I mean, I'm sure McCaffrey looked good after. Actually, McCaffrey didn't play at the beginning of last year, but we'll
get
see.
To McCaffrey, too. If we got they some need news schedule from him yesterday. Tweet.
Schedule tweet for that guy.
I know.
The Eagles, they can't rely 100% on Saquon and Jalen Hurts' legs. They obviously, somebody was missing last night. It's very clear. There was no A.J. Brown. First target with a minute and a half left in the game. So if Saquon is the 90% of the offense, that scares me. Endurance-wise, like, can he last the season if he's the only weapon?
I mean, look like it, although his backup, Will Shipley, got hurt in this game, right?
Yeah, he looked good, too.
I mean, A.J. Brown basically kind of frozen out, so I guess credit to the Dallas defense for that one. But the bigger story, we're just kind of breaking down what we saw last night. Dallas loses 24-20, close game. Offensive-minded game until an hour and 4 minute lightning delay, weather delay, and then the defenses took over. Dallas had every chance. The defense stood up, forced a three and out for Philadelphia late in the fourth quarter. Dallas had all three timeouts, had about 3.5 minutes left, and they couldn't get it done. And part of the reason, because on that drive, CeeDee Lamb had some extremely uncharacteristic drops. Yeah. Now, he's getting credited. I don't know. What's the opposite of credit? Credited with four drops. He's being assigned. He's being blamed for four drops.
Right.
I actually think it's three. Collinsworth said it on the broadcast. Yeah. That final throw from Prescott. Now, I know they say if it touches a receiver's hands,
here's a guy,
then he should have it. But that would have been impossible. The one before that, it was like earlier in the drive, literally hit CeeDee Lamb in the hands, upright, middle of the field, and just went through.
Right. I don't, the one you're talking about, CeeDee Lamb was diving for the
ball. Diving in the last one.
It wasn't a bad throw by Prescott. I mean, he had to get it out there. Like, I mean, Prescott was, looked good.
Yeah, he did. But is that a drop, though?
Yeah.
I felt like that was an insane catch if he made it.
I tell you, you could even take one down because the first drop, there was like, for some reason, there were four Cowboys and four Eagles all within a five-yard span. Somebody ran the wrong pattern, and CeeDee got screwed up on that one. And Collinsworth, that was like somebody messed up other than CeeDee Lamb. I think it was Jalen Tolbert almost ran into him.
Yeah.
So that drop was weird.
What are you doing here? What are you doing here? Yeah. Get away from my space.
Whenever you see two receivers within 2 feet of each other, like that, I don't even know if that's a drop. The you're right, though. The previous drop, not the diving one, that was a game changer. And man, CeeDee Lamb is so good, but that is going to kill him. I wonder, you know, what if he has a drop here? You know, what if his, because you've seen his confidence go away. Remember the Packers game?
Yeah.
When he had a drop early in the game.
Good point.
And then Mike McCarthy had to come over to him on the sideline and talk to him. That's a guy who is all about confidence. He's so talented, but I'm curious how he comes back in week two.
Yeah, it was surprising. It was a little like in the college games over the weekend when Jeremiah Smith comes out and he's dropping passes. And it was like, wait a minute, what's going on here? And CeeDee Lamb, I mean, he's the second highest paid receiver in the entire NFL. If he's sick about those drops, I mean, he should be. You know, Dallas had they had the game. I mean, they could have had the game. Yeah. Their defense in that, after the weather delay, I want to say in the second half, but it was really after the weather delay, Gate did what they needed to do. Got the forced a three and out. Got the ball back to Prescott. He looked good.
I mean, the Eagles did slow the game down. They started tush pushing. They weren't tush pushing all game, then fourth quarters. So the Eagles, I credit the Eagles for kind of, like, if the Eagles needed to open it up and do some offense, they might have been able to. But they were playing keep away at the end. You know, it's funny. You know who had more drops? One of my favorite receivers to watch, maybe not my favorite person, T.O. would drop the ball all the time.
Right.
And he's former Cowboy, former Eagle.
Hall of Famer.
You know, I think drops doesn't mean you could be a great all-time receiver and like lead the league in drops. You're just going to get a million targets. So I'm not giving up on CD at all.
I was wondering if these guys in the middle of the field, like Jake Ferguson in the end zone in a really crucial moment, actually right before the Sanders fumble, got tattooed in the end zone.
Oh, the penalty?
It drew a penalty on Blankenship, and it kept the drive alive, and eventually it was for nothing. So his brain got scrambled for literally nothing because Miles Sanders fumbled.
It was a terrible play by Blankenship, but...
Yeah, I was wondering if guys like with the... Not the last CeeDee Lamb drop, because he was diving out for it, but the one before that, I was wondering if CeeDee and some of these guys were watching what the Philadelphia Eagles... I know we're maligning their defense today, but some of those guys were getting crunched in the middle of the field, and if CeeDee was sort of flinched a little bit, and listen, easy for me to say on the couch, like, hey, you know, take that hit. But I thought they were like either Dak, where he was placing the ball, or what Philadelphia was doing in the middle of the field. I thought maybe CD had the corner of his eye out looking for the safety.
Well, they had to throw. They got in some really bad down and distance situations where Dak would have to throw like a beautiful rope 25 yards into a small window. Because the Eagles defense, it was coming. So they had opportunities for big hits. And honestly, like usually the secondary failed. I think like Reed Blankenship, that hit on the tight end, like you were 2 seconds late, dude. And you, there are a lot of personal fouls. We also have to talk about the NFL. I didn't really pay much attention to it, trying to be really tough on taunting and other personal fouls.
Yeah.
Like they called
Nolan
Smith.
The point
of emphasis drives me crazy. It's the worst thing every season. The first 5 weeks, they start throwing flags on one thing. And this year, it is taunting and other kind of personal fouls.
888-710-4ISN. Just laid a lot out there for you. 888-710-4476. I think the big question we're asking is, are the Cowboys good?
Yeah.
Are they a playoff team?
Put that poll up exactly worded like that, EJ. Are the Dallas Cowboys good? Don't even put playoff team. Are the Dallas Cowboys good?
What do you think, EJ?
I think a lot. I don't think you guys are making excuses for them, but I think we're missing the boat on the fact that the Cowboys choked away another game. That's what happened. Like, we could talk about CeeDee Lamb. Should he have caught that last pass? He is one of the highest paid receivers in the NFL. You dropped a lollipop 2 plays before. You have to make that play at the end simply because of where you stand. I watched Justin Jefferson go up against your Buffalo Bills in triple coverage and go up with one hand with guys all over him. Like, those star players, the elite players, make those plays. He messed up. How about George Pickens getting a ridiculous 15-yard penalty deep into the red zone as the team is driving that only got wiped out because of Blankenship, but that also was a back-breaking penalty. The Cowboys about to go down and score a touchdown, and of course, Vontae Williams fumbles. There was a lot of mistakes by the Cowboys. Yeah. I know defense struggled in the first half, and they made those adjustments in the second half, but that was a game that you have to win. Jalen Carter's out of the game. You're moving the ball up and down the field. How do you lose that game? That was pathetic for the Cowboys.
I would just say if the Eagles needed to turn it on, if it wasn't for the Bengals, like the Eagles scored at will too. Like the Eagles did not get aggressive in the second half. You don't think the Eagles, if they were down, could have drove down on that defense?
But I don't know. I mean, yeah. See, that's the thing, EJ. It's like the balance here. Yes, are you sick because you had that game and you should have won that game, right? You have the final drive. You got 3.5 minutes left. You know, you got Philadelphia maybe on their heels a little bit. But at the same time, what were you expecting from Dallas? I think people were expecting, I don't know what, to be honest. There was so many question marks. How would they be after Micah Parsons? New head coach Brian Schottenheimer. You know, I'll commend them actually for, I don't want to commend them for just like stuff you routinely get right. But it was always a little bit of a question whether Dallas would be able to execute before a half to even get a field goal attempt, which they did to perfection.
Schottenheimer, man, kudos. You know what?
I think you have to, it depends where your expectations were, because my expectations for Dallas were basically the toilet. So I guess there was more that I saw that I liked as opposed to, yes, they did, you know, they had every opportunity to win the game and steal one. So, you know.
That is all true. Everything you said is true, but I felt like right before the weather delay, the Eagles got a fumble. It was actually Miles Sanders who fumbled, which is no surprise.
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, Sanders. Because he was an Eagle, and like Miles Sanders coming up small is no new
news.
But
he ripped off a 50-yard run.
I know. But listen, there's a reason he's been on many, many teams. So I thought the Eagles were about to blow the doors off the Cowboys at that point. And then Landon Dickerson didn't come back after the rain. Like, they were, I mean, listen, Saquon was torching them. And then everything just stopped at the rain delay. So I'm not sure if you had the rain delay. It was 24-20 Eagles. They got the ball. The Cowboys couldn't stop them at all. They might have gone up 31-20. So I'm not sure that it was that clear that the Cowboys blew this one. I think the Eagles probably at home had a great chance to put some distance behind them.
But I think we're talking about hypotheticals that didn't happen. I'm talking about the game that was played.
Yeah.
There was a rain delay that happened. The Eagles called the game they called. And the Cowboys blew it. I think it's very simple. Like, we can talk about,
even
well, if there
Lamb
wasn't
catches
a rain delay.
That, even if CeeDee Lamb catches that, they're not in the end zone. Like, they still have a ways to go.
Right, but they're moving the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, there's 2 kill shots they hit in one drive that CeeDee dropped both. I mean, like,
they weren't even, yeah, but even if they got to them, like, still, to get in the end zone, the red zone, well, it was not a given by any means.
Okay, so I think we have 2 poll questions I think we should put up now. One, are the Cowboys good? Question mark. What do you think? And secondly, again, maybe I'm on an island here. I'll put this up on my own Twitter if you guys don't want to put it on the show Twitter. I'll understand. But what was the bigger moment in the game? Was it the Jalen Carter ejection that happened before the first offensive snap, or was it the weather delay?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I think it was Carter. It had to be Carter. Carter getting ejected, I thought, changed the entire mindset. It had to for the Dallas Cowboys offense.
Yeah, but I mean,
and Hock 2 was back. Lucky us.
Dallas scored on five for five in the first half, and that's all the points they scored. And there was a massive rain delay. And you don't think that was why?
I think it was a mentality. No, I get it, but that's what I'm saying. I think there was a mentality of it was kind of like I'm gonna say a gift because Jalen Carter did this to himself. But you get like handed this game changing gift. It just has to shift everything on the sideline. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually a little bit focused on the future. Like, is Dallas going to be able to ride the momentum of this performance and be really good? And are the Eagles, like, I'm sure Howie's on the phone right now looking for something. I mean, like, they need another defensive back. There's no doubt about it. And their pass rush stunk. So,
you don't trust Vic Fangio to just get these guys in shape?
You don't trust the Dory Jackson is what you're saying?
I mean, we knew that was going to be a problem. I said that the other day on the show. Like, there's Howie's on the phone right now. Like, there is definitely some flaws. The Eagles should have won that game more easily, because when Saquon runs like that, how do you beat the Eagles? I just think for some reason, you're right, the Jalen Carter injury just gutted their defense and showed all their warts, because Jalen Carter, arguably the best defensive tackle. I think you go Dexter Lawrence, Jalen Carter. Without him, man, they just, all their vulnerabilities came out last night.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. So there's it right on a silver platter for you. Are the Cowboys good? And what was the bigger turning point or moment of the game, Jalen Carter's suspension or the weather delay? So much more to get into from this game and previewing what is going to be a massive weekend. The NFL, yes, but also some really sneaky good college games on the slate to boot. 888-710-4ISN. Let's go Cowboys, Eagles fans, NFL fans. What did you see? And should Jalen Carter be suspended for the spit?
Go Bird!
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show, putting out a very simple question. Are the Dallas Cowboys good? They lost 24-20 to the Eagles late last night after a big rain delay. I think they're good. I'm so sorry. I'm buying the Kool-Aid. Now, good in the sense that they could have a winning record and get blown out by a running team in the playoffs. Like, that good. Not Super Bowl good.
I mean, considering they are plus money to be a playoff team. I think their over-under was, 7.5
wins? I think it went down
something?
To 7.5. Yeah, I think that after the Parsons trade, it fell even more, like a game and a half.
Yeah, I think it depends where your expectations were, especially with last night's game, because there was a huge turning point right before the first offensive snap of the game for Dallas, which is that Jalen Carter, the standout defensive tackle for the Eagles, gets ejected for spitting on Dak Prescott. It changed everything. Not to mention the weird weather delay that happens with 4 minutes and 44 seconds left in the third quarter. And that changed everything again. So are the Dallas Cowboys good?
Well,
Dak looked good. They're better than I thought. I thought we were walking into a dumpster fire, more or less. And I was impressed, actually, by Brian Schottenheimer. CeeDee Lamb with the drops was just inexcusable. But are they good? I don't think so. I don't know.
Eagles had no Landon Dickerson after the rain delay. That's a huge problem. He's awesome. And had no Jalen Carter. So I think that's the one reason you might say, well, Dallas got a break last night. So it's hard to tell. But listen, they've been invested in their offensive line. And obviously that is a bigger key to rushing than who's actually playing running back. And Javonte Williams looked fresh and good. So I think they fixed a lot of their problems. Defense worries me.
Let's go to the phones. 888-710-4ISN. Jason is in Washington, D.C. Jason, are the Cowboys good?
Cowboys are very good. And I want to say thank you again. I called yesterday from D.C., and you gave me a hard time by telling me I must live in an area. I must feel a little bit bad by living in D.C. So, yes, the Cowboys are good. A couple of things. Jalen Carter, the Carter situation, it absolutely changed the dynamics of the game, because it allowed us to feel comfortable that we could run against Philly's defense.
Yep.
Absolutely. Then, second of all, first half, we were horrible. Edge control, gap control. We couldn't keep Hurts in the pocket. Hurts was constantly breaking containment. There was nobody nowhere near him on his run, a lot of his runs until he scores, there was no one even near him within 15 yards. I think in that second half, as opposed to years past, we made adjustments.
Yeah.
Give Eberflus credit for making adjustments to say, we're going to start coming at you. They started pulling the pressure up. They made Jalen Hurts a little bit more uncomfortable to where you could see he starts throwing the ball a little bit faster. He gets it out of his hands a little bit faster than he wants to. So, yes, I think Dallas is – I picked them to win even with Carter. And I thought they should have won. They could have won. The CD drops really, really hurt us.
Yeah.
Because on each drop, it meant a first down. It also meant points off the board. So if you take 3, 6, 9, even if we get field goals, 9 points off the board, we win the game.
Yeah, I mean, in a tight game. Jason, thank you for the call. Yeah, we were talking yesterday living in enemy territory, right, in Washington, D.C., being a Dallas fan. But also so I want to give Eberflus, the defensive coordinator, former Bears head coach, I want to give him credit for what they did after the rain delay. Both defenses got a lot better after the delay. But I also can't really, because why did it take so long for them to get a spy on Jalen Hurts, who is absolutely killing them with his legs? There's got to be a coaching reason. I understand that there's an X's and O's reason for it, but it felt like a no-brainer.
Yeah. But I mean, we say that. There are so many games where we wonder why there was no spy. I always wonder, why are you not spying Josh Allen on every single play? Why are you not spying Lamar Jackson? But then again, A.J. Brown had one catch. And why do you think that is? Because there were probably two guys on him. Probably the safety was on him all the time. So it's a math game. Yep. If you start spying Jalen Hurts, maybe that opens up the outside. It's not that simple. And, you know, Jalen Hurts didn't throw long at all because the Cowboys took that away. They let everything in front of them. It's a give and take. If the Cowboys had done, you know, if they had been spying on him, then who knows? He might hit A.J. Brown long.
Yeah, the biggest play, the most explosive play of the game from the Philadelphia Eagles offense from passing the ball was actually to Jahan Dotson. Not A.J. Brown, not Devontae Smith. D's in Portland wants to talk about Jalen Carter spitting on Dak Prescott. He got ejected before the first offensive snap of the game. What's up, D?
Hey, guys. Love the show as always. Carter, man, you can't be doing that kind of stuff, man. Like, we need you. And my question is, why did it take 3 quarters for them to get the other video out with Dak spitting on him? So the whole America sees Jalen, you know, spitting on him. Why, you know, Dak spat on him, well, spat on the ground first.
Yeah.
But also, we had 9 penalties for 101 yards. That has to be a record. I don't think I've ever seen a number that high. Carter, you got to do better, but Dallas, you guys suck. Anyways, go Birds. Love the show.
D, bye. Appreciate you. Got to get it. The Dallas sucks. The chants were coming in
go
very clear off my television last night.
I don't think that's a record, 9 for 110.
Definitely
I think
not.
Did we have 18 last year in one game? Or like, yeah, there's been some.
Raiders are in this league. We definitely have more penalties than that.
The officials were kind of itchy last night, although they were a bit inconsistent. Honestly, full disclosure, Eagles fan, there were a couple PIs where they were face guarding guys that did not turn around on the ball. I was like, ooh, they should have thrown a flag on that one. And they missed a blatant hold that became a big play for the Eagles. Like, the officials helped the Eagles.
Wait, is D alleging that NBC was holding a second angle of the Dak Prescott spitting for what end?
I feel great.
To probably help the Cowboys.
And because Eagles fans are just
to show Philadelphia being... Like, Philly always thinks everyone's against them.
Have you ever met somebody from Philadelphia?
No.
Somebody who roots for the Eagles? They have this underdog mentality. They just won the Super Bowl, but yet everybody's against them. Everybody's against the Eagles. Oh, my God, bro.
Man, he's crashing out. The season hasn't even started yet.
I can guarantee you NBC had no idea what was going on there.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. They want to play up the drama, right?
Yeah.
So finally, in the weather delay, then that's where we got the second angle. Dak Prescott spits on the ground towards Jalen Carter and then smiles at him and kind of goes like, ha-ha, like puts the head nod towards him. And that was enough to have Jalen Carter basically turn into some disgusting version of the Incredible Hulk and spit on him.
Okay. But let's not act like guys don't spit on each other in the NFL. I know that's gross, but Sean Taylor famously ejected from a playoff game for spitting. It happens. I don't think Jalen Carter is all of a sudden like total should be kicked out of the league or something. And everyone, I saw some former players going on social media last night screaming like, this is unforgivable. And everyone linked it to his past too. I'm like, oh, come on, guys.
Well, not the same in terms of severity, but
exactly.
Getting himself kicked out was beyond dumb. Let's get to Andrew Bogish, who's back with us on this Friday morning. Jeez, Bogues, you come back just in time because I lost a dumb bet yesterday. Now breakfast, you just walked into like an awesome Friday. You didn't even know it.
I'm a gentleman. Peter Schwartz is going to have my breakfast. You can send it to his house on Long Island.
I don't have that kind of dough.
I don't think he's aware, so I will take his breakfast. Thank you very much.
In the meantime, your headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Don't miss any of the action this football season with Prize Picks, where it's good to be right. Download Prize Picks and use code PRIMETIME and get a $50 bonus credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com. For restrictions and details.
E-A-G-L-E-S.
As you were just discussing, we are constantly told they are nice people, that Santa Claus and J.D. Drew had it coming, but Philadelphia'd again last night before a defensive snap was played with Jalen Carter spitting on Dak Prescott. But surely Carter would never just hock a loogie on someone.
There had to have been a second spitter.
And yes, we do have video of Prescott spitting in the general direction of Carter, which led to them getting face mask to face mask, which led to Carter's direct hock to a. Here's Dak's side of the story.
I stepped through, I actually say the words like, what the hell would I, excuse me, but I'm probably even more colorful. What would I need to spit on you for? And he just spit on me in that moment, and it was more of a surprise than anything.
Dak thought it was just going to be a penalty, so the ejection was a surprise for him. That gave us our first big Dom sighting of the season as he walked Carter to the locker room. Jalen apologized to his teammates and fans post-game, promising that it will not happen again. When they actually played football on opening night in Philly, the Eagles and Cowboys scored on the first 8 possessions of the night with Dallas trying to make it 9.
First down. Handoff goes inside to Sanders, and he goes no place. He fumbles the football, and it's picked up by the Eagles. Picked up by Quinyon Mitchell.
Merrill Reese on Eagles radio. Miles Sanders losing that fumble 10 yards from the Eagle end zone. Soon after that came that 65-minute weather delay. Neither team scored once they play resume, so Philly is 1-0 this morning, a 24-20 victory. Jalen Hurts running for 2 scores. 1 for Saquon Barkley.
Puck to it.
Christian McCaffrey's in midseason form now on the Niner injury report with a calf issue. He was healthy all summer, but now this, and don't forget the first half of last season for him ruined by Achilles tendonitis in both of those legs.
Man, I picked him yesterday to win the Super Bowl. I feel like a dope. Because I can't say no one's surprised by this, right? It was only going to be a matter of time. I just didn't think it'd be before the first game, Pearl.
Yeah. Well, that's on you.
That's exactly what happened last year.
Well, you're the slump busters.
I'm the worst. And I would think that maybe Shanahan has to have some type of plan B. Like, your season was just wrecked because this guy couldn't play last year. You cannot go into the next season with no plan.
Well, they signed Brian Robinson Jr., or traded for Brian Robinson Jr., who is a bit of an Eagle killer. And I love, they still have Isaac Garendo, who got hurt last year. You know, again,
is this foreshadowing another bad season?
But I always thought the Niners always could put in a backup running back who looked amazing, like the Denver Broncos under Mike Shanahan. But last year, it just didn't work because guys would go in and they get hurt in 3 plays. Like another guy goes in. They do have some depth, so there is like a possibility of survival. But wasn't the narrative like McCaffrey's going to basically do everything for us? He's going to be Superman again?
Uh-oh.
But they're also like on... It's like 6, 7, 8 years long now of them having by far the most injuries in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like they need some kind of seance.
Well, Chargers. Chargers are number one, I think.
But the Niners are impossible. Like one of their beat guys had a graphic of how many injuries they've had over the last couple of years. And it's going almost on a decade now. Like I hope they have revamped their like medical staff because
doesn't look like it.
Something's not right with the amount of people that keep getting hurt.
Well, they're old though. I mean, could it be Trent Williams? What, 37 now? Christian McCaffrey's ancient for a running back. George Kittle's old. So that's what happens to old players.
Yeah, but this again, guys are getting hurt when they weren't old either.
Yeah, true. I would like to. I think the Chargers set like an NFL record for time on IR at a certain point recently. So the two of them, it must be California.
Singular season, maybe. But like,
California, the healthiest state that we have. Maybe not for soft tissue injury.
Any chance sometimes the Niners are a really physical team. Like, is there any chance that also catches up to them over the course of a season and even during a training camp? Like, just how physical they play?
Yeah, but not with, like, they're not going full tackle. Well, maybe. I mean, not on Christian McCaffrey, though.
No, but I mean, the wear and tear that he's taken over the years, right? I mean, I know he's like a different case. He's been injured since he walked into the NFL. But the team, and Bogey's talking about these team injuries they deal with, like, they're also a team that, like, beats you up. The whole thing about the Niners is, like, get ready for a physical game.
Yeah.
This could be also a side effect of that, is that you're going to have more injuries.
But their defense is physical. Is their offense?
Yeah. Debo Samuel and their running game? Yeah. They're a physical team. I know they're, you know, West Coast, and we kind of think, oh, they're soft. The Niners beat you up.
Very quickly, Caitlin Clark will not return this season from her groin injury. She ends up only playing 13 games for the Fever, the last of which was July 15th. And the Aces on the court last night won their team record 13th in a row, 97-87 over the first place Lynx. Asia Wilson, 31 points and 8 rebounds.
By the way, I had a deep dive into the personality of Andrew Bogut last night. A long conversation with a friend of yours, a friend of everybody listening, about
Jalen Brunson.
I could save it, but we actually broke down everything about Bogut because I think there were some interesting points that I didn't really realize, but now it's all coming to fruition. I think I'm starting to understand Andrew Bogut.
What a tease.
Wow.
What a tease.
Yeah, Perloff was at a party last night.
Yeah.
And the rest of us couldn't go for various reasons.
Shockingly, I wasn't invited.
You're not the only one, brother.
Various reasons. That was supposed to be a blanket umbrella statement. 888-710-4ISN. We're asking you this morning, are the Cowboys
couldn't
good?
And now we get you.
Some of us couldn't go because we weren't on the list.
Well,
by the way, you guys are,
be that as it may,
second topic off the party, you guys are going to be shocked when you find out who from this building was there that got the invite over you.
Maggie, were you on the list?
Of course she was.
Of course I was on the list.
Everybody knows the quarterback.
What kind of a question was
that's
that?
That's damning on you, Bogues.
No, God, we're kidding, but I am actually now very intrigued. What did we learn about our guy here, Andrew Bogut?
He teased it. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, too, I want to say the people in this building who were there to make Manny and EJ mad, and Bogues, too. Like, a lot of people got the invite.
No. EJ was a polite pass.
Yeah, I was like,
You were on the... Okay.
Yes, we'll get to all that.
Did I miss an email?
Perloff gallivanting last night in Midtown Manhattan. Fancy. We'll get to it next.
All right, this MLS game preview is sponsored by Lowe's. Celebrate Labor Day with big savings at Lowe's. Shop on deals, fall favorites from appliances and garden accessories to outdoor power equipment and more. All right, Manny. What do we got?
Well, guys, World Cup qualifying means slim pickings on the Major League Soccer schedule, but the Chicago Fire head up to Foxborough to take on the New England Revolution. Both teams currently sit as the first and second teams out of the playoff picture, respectively. Matters perhaps a bit easier for the Fire. They trail the New York Red Bulls for the final playoff spot in the East by just 1 point. The Revolutions have 31 points, 9 back of New York for that final playoff seed. The New England Revolution hosts the Chicago Fire from Gillette Stadium. Kickoff slated for Saturday night, 8:30 Eastern. It also feels like a good time to mention that Inter Miami star Lionel Messi netted a brace last night for Argentina in what might have been his last time that he dons the Albiceleste jersey on Argentinian soil. Argentina, who has already clinched their ticket to the World Cup, they defeated Venezuela 3-0.
Love it. That's
fantastic.
Awesome.
And comprehensive. Sounded great.
Sick goal, by the way.
I have a question
Which
for you.
One?
So they're going to play this MLS game at Gillette Stadium Saturday night at 8 o'clock, and then the Patriots are going to host the Raiders in the home opener the next day at 1?
Yeah, it's a field turf, baby.
Quick turnover. Okay.
Just double checking. Now, Perloff, we're asking you today a couple things based off the Cowboys. A narrow loss to the Eagles last night. It was a crazy game. Jalen Carter gets ejected. There's an hour weather delay. But we're asking a simple question without a simple answer. Yeah. Are the Cowboys good?
Yep.
Not sure. When we answer that, you went to break teasing something very big about our friend and colleague, Andrew Bogut.
Yeah, and there's a football hook, too.
Okay.
Because last night's game reminded me so much of 2023. The Cowboys come to Philly. Dak is hot. CeeDee Lamb just beats every cornerback like they're nothing. Catches 11 balls for 200 yards. Cowboys end up losing 28-23, almost the same exact game. A couple plays go the wrong way. And I come in, I make the argument, I think the Eagles are tired because they went to the Super Bowl and they have this brutal run of games.
Yeah, this is after a 10-1 start the next season. Then all of a sudden the fatigue set in.
Yeah. Andrew Bogish is livid. He thinks this is the stupidest take he ever heard. Brings it up about 1,000 times.
He still brings it up.
Yes.
Am I right, Bogus? This morning.
Yes.
Yeah. This 14-month delay on the dry heat in Arizona makes total sense.
I believe I have a unique ability to frustrate Andrew Bogus.
You don't believe. Yes. It's a fact.
So I ran into an old friend, our friend Damon and Mandalora, last night at a party for Jason Barrett's company. Had an awesome party. And DA and I had a long talk. Obviously, we talked about what it's like to wake up early to do a 6 a.m. show. But then the topic turned to Andrew Bogus.
Chopping it up.
I literally told him about that Eagles take. I'm like, I can really annoy Bogus at times. And DA is like, if there's one thing about Andrew Bogus, he really likes consistency. Mm. He will go after you. If he's like, yeah, the one thing he does not like when you flip-flop on takes, I'm like, this is sports talk radio. Like, that's our bread and butter.
Yeah, Bogues, you're in the wrong industry.
Yeah,
but it's the bandwagoning, I think, of yours that really irks Bogues.
No. I think it's the inconsistency. Because, like, listen,
Baylor,
you get new information, you change your mind. That's how the world works. And Bogues does not accept that.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely, like, pro-progress, and you can change your mind, but your example, your Eagles take still is nonsensical that after in week 12, they got tired from playing in a controlled weather environment in Arizona in February.
Maybe I was tired at the time.
Right out the dry heat of Arizona, they played indoors.
Remember they had that brutal run? They played every contender like 5 weeks in a row and guys were getting hurt.
Wait, let's not relitigate what happened to the Eagles in 2023. Yeah. This is about Bogus and about you finding out more information about him from former coworker DA.
He's like, DA is like, I know Bogues can get hot. He's like, I've seen it before. He's like, you know, you just might want to
grab my crotch.
Try not to be inconsistent with a take when you're arguing with him because it drives him nuts. Is this true, Andrew Bogus, that is one thing that gets under your skin?
That's probably a fair assessment, yeah.
Yeah,
I buy a lot of meth.
We also said, the funny thing about it, Bogues can get really mad on the mic, then you go out in the newsroom. It's like, hey man, what you doing this weekend?
Yeah, well, that's
He's got a lot of that sort of a Jekyll and Hyde. There's a Jekyll and Hyde aspect to you as well that I thought was interesting.
Well, I have never impregnated a bird.
This room is its own environment.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. If it gets taken out to the newsroom, then you know, oh no, do we have to have a meeting? No. When it's all in here, everything is good. Okay, so who else did you see last night at this big party?
I saw
who else from this building was there?
Well, this is gonna make you mad, Maggie. It was every boss you've ever had was there, Maggie.
Okay, yeah.
But I gotta tell you, like, I can't believe you guys weren't there. Carlos Ortiz, who produces at night, was there. Ryan Hickey, who produces the next show, was there.
Yeah.
Nico was there. Sometimes produces.
Not even 21. Nico.
He was wearing the Scarlatos.
And he stood up because he was wearing a Michigan jersey.
that guy sucks.
There were a couple other guys that, honestly.
Listen, it's a big game this weekend against Oklahoma. What are you guys going to do?
That's a rookie move there.
There are a lot of producers.
Me being mad.
There are a lot of producers that I don't know their names, but they've filled in certain times. Jack was there. It was like
Jack Cardi was there?
Yeah. It was everybody from Odyssey was there.
I thought you were going to say Stern.
Yeah.
Stern, who no longer has the worst pronunciation of Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, because that now belongs to Marshawn Lynch, but we can't play it because he drops curse.
It was the Odyssey break room, and you guys weren't there.
I don't understand.
I wasn't invited.
Seriously.
Sorry, guys.
Who sent out an email?
I have no idea.
To Nico, of all people.
He's not even full-time.
That's not even his real name.
True. It is Peter. I felt bad I wasn't there. There was a large degree of FOMO.
Just you were
to suck up to our bosses was mainly the number one thing.
No, everyone asked about you. And I said you're pre-gaming, studying the matchups.
Half true. 888-710-4ISN. Are the Cowboys good?
I am broken!